B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. This is the 2019 year-end awards in pro wrestling. It's brought to you by the Over Under podcast, hosted by Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Mike Riley, Joe Murray are alongside. My name is James Stewart, and I am the one behind the 20. So we're going to run down a bunch of different categories here. And for our 2019 year-end awards, we will start with the Male Wrestler of the Year. Much like an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Maz, I will defer my opening take to Mike Riley. Mike, go ahead. Your Male Wrestler of the Year.
Okay, here we go, Jimmy. So it was more or less in the last quarter of 2019, my Male Wrestler of the Year got this award, and that would be Bray Wyatt, The Fiend. The reinvention of his character, Funhouse, the debut at SummerSlam, really good match with Seth Rollins at the Hell in the Cell despite the ending. He made the Universal title now blue. He is essentially the hottest thing going right now in WWE. Took down some big names in wrestling with the Mandible Claw, Kane, Jerry Lawler, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Mick Foley. It just really an unbelievable reinvention of the character right now, and it proves why he's the hottest thing going, and that is why The Fiend Bray Wyatt is my Male Wrestler of the Year.
Joe Murray, Male Wrestler of the Year.
Well, I'm not happy about my Male Wrestler of the Year. I went back and forth. I had two people. One of them was Kofi Kingston. The other was Seth Rollins. And I'm going to give the award to Seth Rollins. Not happy about it. He'll get his little trophy. He can put it on his mantle. But what'd you do with it, Seth? You know, you had a big year. Now J&J Security is now just a little bit bigger than what we remembered. OP. But Seth Rollins, it's the thing you asked, right? You want him to win a championship, he went into it. You want him to conquer this, he conquers it. He needs to beat that, he does. He did everything that he could this year. I give him Wrestler of the Year. I'm not happy about it. The reason why I don't give it to Kofi is I just think Seth was on a higher level than Kofi. Kofi, to me, is deserving. He's 1B in this whole situation, or 1A. But I'm going to give it to Seth Rollins, even though I'm not really happy about it.
I respect the fact that you're miserable in giving out your Wrestler of the Year, Joe. My Male Wrestler of the Year is the current reigning and defending NXT champion, Adam Cole.
Shock the system.
He had a hell of a year. Won a five-way match against Velveteen Dream, Matt Riddle, Aleister Black, and Ricochet to earn an opportunity for the NXT Championship in New York, really Brooklyn. He loses to Johnny Gargano in that 2 out of 3 fall match, but then he beats Gargano in Bridgeport, Connecticut at TakeOver 25 to win the championship. He retains in a 2 out of 3 fall match in Toronto, and then he has a run leading into and at Survivor Series, retains against Daniel Bryan on that SmackDown, where they arrived at the building at 7:55 or 8 o'clock or whatever it was, has a great match with Daniel Bryan, has a fabulous match with Pete Dunne at Survivor Series, and Adam Cole is my Male Wrestler of 2019.
Mm. Good choices.
Was there a fifth at all that we missed?
I was going to ask if you guys would consider Chris Jericho.
Yes.
He had two excellent fights in New Japan. He lost to Naito and he lost to Okada, as well as he's the current reigning and defending AEW champion. He had a fabulous match with Kenny Omega to earn the right to challenge for that vacant championship. He beats Hangman Page. He retains against Cody. I feel like Jericho is worthy of consideration because he is probably the most interesting watch in All Elite Wrestling right now.
Yep, and inaugural champion and just what he's done his whole career there to be that guy where he is right now. So, yeah, that was a top consideration for me too. Another one was Cody. I mean, I know he's not currently the champion, but he's really over right now. He was on my list as well. And also, even AJ Styles, I know he gets that, you know, he didn't have the best year, but he was in that conversation for me just outside my upper tier of guys there. Again, a good individual competitor, but he didn't make the cut this year for 2019 as Male Wrestler of the Year.
The only other name on my list for considerations would be Brock Lesnar, just because he was a brand champion for 204 days this year. And that's worthy of some consideration. That number down, by the way, from the 290 days he was a brand champion in 2018.
Just one other guy to bring up, Will Ospreay, I thought is just the little that I watch, you know, of Ring of Honor or New Japan or whatever, the guy's exciting. I think he's trying to start his new promotion soon. Doesn't have like the build of the guys we discussed, but I think he's a rising star. Might be on this list from years to come.
Will Ospreay, by the way, had the two highest rated matches in the Wrestling Observer newsletter, both 5 3/4 stars, one against Okada in the G1 Climax tournament and the other against a name I can't pronounce in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, both over the summer.
I think it was Shingo Takagi, right?
Mike, you're the PA guy. You can pronounce it better than I can.
Yeah, that was day 15. And then day 8, he had a good one against, who was a band, why am I blanking on him? Is it Bandit? Banded.
I'll right? go, you're, then, the, you're the you're the PA yes. announcer guy, so yeah, I will yes, take your then, pronunciations
there you go.
Over anybody else. Now,
thank you, James.
The female wrestler of the year.
Here.
I think this is a slam dunk here. I think it's Becky Lynch. And here's her resume. Royal Rumble winner. Wins the main event at WrestleMania, winning both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. She's now the longest reigning women's champion in the era of the WWE Women's Wrestling Championship. She's clearly, to me, the number one. She's on a 250-plus day reign as champion. I can't remember the last time she was pinned or tapped. I think it was Asuka at last year's Rumble. If there's a pinfall on a Raw or a house show outside of Charlotte Flair beating her for the SmackDown Women's Championship, I can't remember it. Maybe Lacey Evans caught her on an off night, but Becky Lynch, to me, is the clear female wrestler of the year. Mike Riley, what do you got?
Yeah, and you know, last year at this time, she was my female wrestler of the year, and also I think she may have been the wrestler of the year, too. Again, just rode that momentum into 2019, part of the first ever female main event at WrestleMania, made history there, like we mentioned, and just so many good things right there. It's a no-brainer. Another thing I thought, she had a really good match at the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view with Sasha Banks. Really good match. And as you mentioned, Jimmy, never lost the Raw Women's title. She also put over Shayna Baszler a little bit, too, at the Survivor Series, I guess you could say. I think that's an indication of what we're going to see here for Shayna Baszler come 2020. But for Becky to do that there at the Survivor Series this late in 2019, she's the hottest thing going right now. She is at the, I guess you could say, the same level as Stone Cold Steve Austin 20 years ago, 21 years ago at this point with the Austin 316. The man, Becky Lynch, female wrestler of the year.
Yeah, Becky, two belts, no doubt about it. So let's just move on.
So other candidates, I admitted that I wanted to say Charlotte Flair because she won the women's championship three times in 2019. She was the runner-up in the Royal Rumble match. She beat Becky, even though Becky was illegally in the Royal Rumble match, so Charlotte should have won it. But here's the issue. Charlotte's three championship reigns, 13 days, 10 minutes, 5 days. You know, there's a case to be made for Bayley. Her two championship reigns, she beat Charlotte Flair twice, and she's been the Blue Brand's champion for a while. Tessa Blanchard from Impact, amongst other independent wrestling companies, you could make a case for. It's my belief that Access TV created and brought back the Women of Wrestling TV show just so that they could showcase Tessa. And she's been fighting mostly men during the last few months of her Impact run, and she's going to be challenging for the Impact Men's Championship against Sami Callihan, the very same Sami Callihan that she main evented a pay-per-view against back in July.
Yeah, that was a good pick there. And then just also Bayley too, another thing, a small one. I mean, she was part of the female tag team champions, you know, the historic run there for that. Well, you know what I mean? The inaugural one. Carried that right there, and then just reinvented her character too. So she was it's just so hard to overtop Becky Lynch, but she was right up there as a strong number two candidate.
I think number two is Shayna Baszler. She held the title, I believe, longer than everybody else this year. Maybe had the longest reign, if I'm not mistaken. She just lost recently to Rhea Ripley, right?
She almost went 2019 as the NXT Women's Champion, and I don't think anybody came close to really dethroning her of that championship until Rhea Ripley came,
and it just showed
like a phoenix.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that to have a bigger impact that Becky Lynch had. You know, one person held it for a whole calendar year.
And Shayna also, she won the main event at Survivor Series, which might lead into a strong 2020 for Shayna Baszler.
Yep.
The tag team of the year. This one was very difficult for me. I went the War Raider Viking Experience Viking Raiders.
Ooh.
And I went this way because I'm not sure they lost 5 matches this year. And if the number is 5, 4 of them were to Gallows and Anderson, and the 5th was a DQ loss to New Day on some random Raw during the summer when few people were paying attention. And if you want to question their strength of opponent, I won't fight you on it. But they're still winning at a high percentage. Their work in NXT this year was strong. They win the titles from Undisputed Era. Their signature match this year was at NXT Brooklyn, New York, WrestleMania weekend with Aleister Black and Ricochet. I just think that the War Raider Viking Experience Viking Raiders, that was my tag team of 2019. Mike Riley, what say you?
Well, I also a tough decision here too. I mean, now we know with AEW, they're strong indication of the tag team divisions, but I actually stayed WWE and I went with the Revival. Just to go down here for them, they had a good start when they won the Raw titles over Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. And then in May, they beat the Usos in a non-title match after a little bit of a build up there and a feud. A week later, they had a triple threat against the Usos and Hawkins and Ryder, and they won the Raw tag titles. Then in September, they go to SmackDown and beat the New Day there to win the SmackDown tag titles. And by rule, they are the first ever tag team to hold the Raw, SmackDown, and NXT tag team championship. So when the Usos, when the Usos were, dealing with some trouble with the law there, it was next man up, and the Revival, they called the bell, and they did what they had to do. So I don't know if they'll be around in WWE by this time next year, but they're definitely making a name for themselves, and that's why they're my tag team of the year.
You sweat the Revival. Good for you. Joe Murray, who's your tag team of 2019?
Well, I had New Day, and then I crossed, and I put the undisputed of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. We all remember they defeat Street Profits now, who we see every Monday night on Raw. That was their third title reign. this year. And, of course, Fish and O'Reilly originally won it, and then he won it with Roderick Strong at one other point. So just to me, the fact you mentioned Cole is your wrestler of the year. The fact that these two guys can have a tag team championship and Strong can hold another title, like, they're a faction, and they're for real. And, I mean, whenever they put them up against, well, it's always some sort of super team, right? I mean, it's never really just another tag team there. So, for me, I just think that they carry it, they wear it well. They might not necessarily need a championship because of their faction, but I do think that they come off as true champions. And, you know, when they did get the call up this year, they can all, each individually wrestle as well. I'm giving it to them. I think New Day should be considered for the fact that they held it with Kofi. But I'm going NXT on the rise, and, you know, three-time champs I think is deserving.
Did you guys consider the Lucha Brothers at all? Because they've had strong showings on AEW. Their match with the Young Bucks in Chicago Labor Day weekend was one of the best matches of 2019. So they should get consideration. The so-called Young Bucks, who are the best tag team in the world, except they seemingly can't beat anybody in their promotion. I know they were a strong tag team in 2018. I don't think they get any consideration this year, because if wins and losses matter in AEW, they're not winning or losing. And apparently they lost Twitter because they deactivated their Twitter account because they couldn't handle the criticism, which is not a good way to handle your business.
All right. Guys.
So moment of 2019, Joe Murray, what was your moment of 2019?
AEW double or nothing. And I have multiple moments in that particular pay-per-view. But number one of that pay-per-view was Johnny Moxley. You know, his introduction there, that was huge. Him sitting on top of a dice, or that was
poker
awesome.
Chips.
Poker chips. That image of him on top is outstanding. Not forget Cody Rhodes, his introduction and smashing the chair, which was kind of like a shot at Triple H. I thought that was very good. But overall, that was a highly touted, highly hyped, the first AEW Memorial Day weekend. That was the moment of the year in wrestling. And again, Mox just taking it off at the end. We had everyone that you thought of. Was that the Cody brothers too, or was that?
Yeah, that was Dustin and Cody. Yeah,
and that was just a blood of Dustin.
Yep.
But to me, that was the moment of the year, a new era of wrestling, and that by far for me was the moment of the year.
Mike Riley, what was your 2019 moment of the year?
All right, moment of the year, that would have to be at the Survivor Series when the NXT won the Survivor Series. They won 4-2-1 over SmackDown and Raw, who had just the one win there. That picture at the end, Shayna Baszler on top in the holding up the NXT Women's Championship there. The whole weekend surrounded by NXT. Even the Adam Cole had a match with Pete Dunne for the NXT title at the Survivor Series. That Survivor Series pay-per-view was the signature for NXT. So NXT taking the Survivor Series, clear indication of where WWE is going with them in the future. As we know what happened on the Wednesday night, now the new Wednesday Night Wars, if you will. But NXT, that moment right there, winning the Survivor Series, solidified them as their own brand.
My moment of the year was the launch of All Elite Wrestling, because that moment caused so many other things in wrestling to happen. And in fact, just the rumors of another wrestling company coming to fruition caused WWE to go aggressively after a deal with Fox. They put NXT on the USA Network. They brought back the XFL, and they put it on stronger platforms. I know that the public timelines and the announced dates might not match up perfectly, but the wheels of motion began before AEW was actually announced. But the actual announcement of AEW allowed wrestlers who really haven't drawn a dime to get big-time, long-term contracts. And that's really good for everybody in wrestling. And just as a follow-up, as a personal moment of 2019 that meant the world to me, it happened in Madison Square Garden. It was my first time in Madison Square Garden for anything. And that was seeing Matt Taven win the Ring of Honor Championship in a three-way ladder match against Marty the Melvin and Jay Lethal, who thinks he's Randy Savage. Did you guys consider Kofi Kingston's win of the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 35 as a moment of the year? And that realistically might have been WWE's match of the year.
Mm-hmm. That was right up there, too. I mean, Kofi Mania, the whole storyline going into it, the chase, it's really good.
And if we're leading into that, that was my match of the year.
There you go. Take it away, Joe. Why was Kofi Kingston beating Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 35 your match of the year?
I was sitting with Sarge and Andy Wong. You know, you remember, Mike? I'm sitting there like, oh, Kofi can't win this. Oh.
Yep, that's right.
And I don't know what happened. The crowd started getting into it. The storytelling in the ring. I became a little kid again. And I started rooting for Kofi Kingston. That doesn't happen to me. As a 37-year-old man, I don't get caught up in matches like that anymore. I didn't think Kofi should ever be the champion. And Daniel Bryan sold it. Kofi sold it. The main event. To me, that was the match of the year. A, I was there. B, it was the biggest stage of them all. And just Kofi winning was something huge for him and other long-term wrestlers. So for me, just being there at a live event, that's a match of the year for me.
Yeah.
Mike Riley, what was your match of the year?
Well, it was also WrestleMania weekend. It was the Friday of WrestleMania weekend at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and that would be the 2 out of 3 falls match between Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano. Cole won the first fall. You can watch that and see Jay Stu in the first row there. He had a good time. I was there for that, too. It was awesome. Cole won the first fall there with the last shot, and then Gargano tied it up there with the submission hold. The crowd was really – I thought it was the hottest crowd, one of the hottest crowds I've ever been in my life, and split, Johnny Wrestling, Adam Cole. It was incredible. The Undisputed Era right out there, most of that match, too. And then Cole was ready to close it out for the win, but then Gargano got Cole to, you know, counter or got him to escape, and Gargano escaped there and put Cole right in the middle of the ring as he was so close to the bottom of the rope. It was a great match on the edge of your seat the whole time. That is my match of the year, Gargano and Adam Cole, NXT TakeOver New York.
So Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole at NXT Brooklyn, New York, WrestleMania weekend. That 2 out of 3 fall match, that was my match of the year as well. I still go back and watch and enjoy that match. And sitting ringside for it, I remember, like, they might go an hour. And I remember just sitting back and, like, they're going to tell me a great story. And they did. And if you go back and watch it, you see my enthusiasm for that match. It's such a great story that Gargano and Adam Cole told. I think they got the finish wrong. Adam Cole should have won that match, but the story that they were telling should have been the completion of Tommaso Ciampa losing the NXT championship to Johnny Gargano. But instead, because of Ciampa's injury, Gargano goes over Cole, and Ciampa comes out as they do that bottom third thing and hugs Johnny Gargano for winning the championship. If you want to tell me that the next month when Adam Cole beats Johnny Gargano in Bridgeport, Connecticut, was the match of the year for you, I'd believe it. That crowd went nuts for Adam Cole winning it. I was there for that one, too. That was just awesome. But Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, NXT Brooklyn / New York WrestleMania weekend was my match of the year. A few other candidates.
Mm.
Did you guys give consideration to Cody versus Dustin from AEW Double or Nothing?
Yeah, that was a very close for me, and I'll go into the event of the year after on that, but that was a very close second. That match was just great storytelling start to finish. Blood in there. Violence. Right, Jay Stu? Violence?
Violence, yeah. Good violence.
It was great. Just a unbelievable. Here he is late in his career, Dustin Rhodes, going up against his younger brother there, who I really think there might be some real-life turmoil behind the scenes. At some point there was, but it, just a good damn match all around. And then the Kofi Daniel Bryan one was also like number three for me, right behind that.
The event of the year, and I will play off my match of the year. I thought NXT Brooklyn WrestleMania weekend was about as perfect a show as I've ever been at. We documented the Gargano-Adam Cole match. Shayna Baszler won a great four-way match. Walter beat Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne is forever my UK champion. Velveteen Dream with an upset in the North American Championship match over Matt Riddle. The War Raiders beating Aleister Black and Ricochet in kind of what ended up being kind of both teams' farewell match to NXT, and the emotional ending of that show, Gargano wins the championship, the hug from Tommaso Ciampa. So for me, 2019, my event of the year was NXT Brooklyn WrestleMania weekend. Mike Riley?
Yeah, you know, that was a very close second for me, and it was up until AEW Double or Nothing. I know Joe said that was his moment of the year, but that is my event of the year with that. Again, just to touch on it briefly, it was the build-up going into it. Jericho over Kenny Omega there. Winner got Adam Page for the inaugural AEW title. Bret Hart was there. He debuted that title. Serious eye-opener for the WWE, and you know, as Joe mentioned before, with Cody using that sledgehammer on the throne, the last three matches of Double or Nothing were really, really good. Cody and Dustin, the Young Bucks beat the Lucha Brothers, and then Jericho over Omega. And then right after that, of course, Jon Moxley debuts, and that just really was fantastic in Vegas. I regret not being able to be there for that, but that AEW Double or Nothing was my event of 2019.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback on that. I thought that was it was really good. It was Double or Nothing was awesome. And, you know, we saw Adam Page, we saw MJF get thrown out in the Casino Battle Royal. We saw SoCal. We saw a lot of these tag teams that we know of now. Dr. Britt Baker got the win on that one. We saw Brandi Rhodes, how beautiful she was in that one. But the Cody, Dustin, Young Bucks, Jericho with Mox, and of course Omega in there. That was definitely event of the year, in my opinion.
Were there any other considerations? Any New Japan shows? Any WrestleMania consideration? Any SummerSlam? Any Survivor Series? Any other consideration for a different show for you guys?
Yeah, SummerSlam was in there. I liked WrestleMania. Don't get me wrong, but being there it was so draining that whole time length. But I actually like SummerSlam better than WrestleMania this year, personally. Money in the Bank was also really good. That was a really good underappreciated pay per view, I thought, especially the month after WrestleMania. So that was right in there as well. As far as the New Japan, it didn't make my cut this year.
So I actually gave Money in the Bank this year a little bit of consideration. You had a fabulous tag team match between the Usos and Daniel Bryan and Rowan. I thought Bayley winning the Money in the Bank match was excellent. Brock Lesnar winning the main event and the briefcase. You had a fabulous undercard of Kofi Kingston and Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. You had probably the most disappointing moment of 2019 for me when Bayley cheated and came in the back door and beat Charlotte Flair after Charlotte. Like, you want to talk about dirty moves in 2019? Bayley, after Charlotte finally beat Becky Lynch, blood, sweat, and tears, and put all that effort and emotion into beating the seemingly unbeatable Becky Lynch, and Bayley out of nowhere, like a thief in the night, cheats and cashes in on a defenseless Charlotte Flair. So Money in the Bank got some consideration for me.
No, it was a good pay-per-view. It was a really good one.
And that was another pay-per-view I was front row for.
Congratulations.
So promotion of the year. For me, this has to be NXT. The TakeOver specials have always been great. This year, I think they went to another level. Their week-to-week show has been excellent. They've been put in a position to succeed, and I feel like they are thriving. They were labeled a developmental territory, and in my opinion, they haven't been for a while, as I've kind of told you. NXT Brooklyn had its first $1 million gate over WrestleMania weekend. The USA Network is paying them somewhere in the range of $30 and $50 million for a weekly two-hour TV show. WWE made it a point to put them over strong at Survivor Series. Their storytelling has been excellent, more recently with Rhea Ripley chasing after Shayna Baszler. The Ciampa Gargano story over the past few years, it never got to climax when it should have, but that was a great story. Tyler Breeze, Fandango, Finn Balor would rather work in NXT than Raw or SmackDown. Ciampa would rather retire than go from NXT to Raw or SmackDown. Kevin Owens, I have it on good authority, wanted to be moved from Raw to NXT. Wasn't allowed to, but he did get to do War Games. So my 2019 promotion of the year was NXT.
Yep, and that was also mine too. And again, they made it similar to what you said, Jimmy, but also for the fans who didn't watch it every Wednesday night on the WWE Network, they gave a new opportunity for fans, for cable television, people that would be, you know, going through the channels and then finding it right there on USA Network. Huge step in the right direction. I think Vince's answer to AEW here was, okay, guys, you got the knives, I got the guns. And he's showing that he's got the talent in the making here with the NXT. And for what we could be seeing in 2020, I'm very excited for the future of NXT. From a fan myself, who I admit that was not a regular NXT fan week in, week out, I'm all in on them every week here on out.
NXT, by far, promotion of the year. Jimmy, everything you kind of hit on, I just wanted to back up that Gargano-Ciampa feud was some of the best storytelling I've ever seen. And I wanted to just mention, with an injury, right? They brought in Gargano's wife at one point.
Yep.
They bring in Ciampa and his crutch. You know what I mean? Like, that thing is monumental now. You know what I mean? Like, you know what that is. But there's other things. There's, you know, we name it. We always talk about the low event we went to years ago, and now all those people are on the big stage. But it's interesting every week because they're developing characters. So something might happen on a pay-per-view, and then on the next Wednesday, it's three people that you didn't see before. You know what I mean? And I kind of like how they bring up what happened, but they continue to show new people and develop new people. So I like that week in and week out with NXT. And also, I used to look forward to being the guy who watched NXT and then it wasn't on television. And now that it is, and now that there's a ratings battle, like, NXT's for real. And I think it could take over WWE at some point as far as ratings go. I do. And I know Fox might have something to say about that, but we get out. I think NXT's putting on the best product, and by far, they're putting on the best pay-per-views.
Wrestler of the decade. I'm going to defer, and I'm going to start with Joe Murray. Who was your wrestler of the decade?
Charlotte Flair.
Oh, wow. Good pick.
Interesting.
How could she not be?
No, I'm interested to hear this. Go ahead.
The whole women's revolution, which I'm all over. The women's revolution, whatever they call it. I'm over it. It was Charlotte who started it. Charlotte is everything. She's a wrestler. She was the voice. She was the look. She was the heel. She was the face. She did everything. She brought her friends in. She put her friends over. She won the titles. When we need a big match, it's Charlotte Flair. When you need a TLC inside a steel cage, it's Charlotte Flair. When you need it, it was her. She delivered. But she also ended up putting everybody else over. And over the last 10 years, women's wrestling, it's because of Charlotte Flair, not because of Paige or all these other people who think that they started it, like Sasha. Nope. It was Charlotte Flair. The reason why is there's no one male that I can look at over a decade to say, yep, this guy, he's the one. Because Charlotte is still doing it, did it, never really took time off, but at the same time, just continues to win, and she'll probably be a champion again. And you know what? I'll say this to you, and Jimmy might get a little tingle. Charlotte Flair being the champ or Charlotte Flair being over is what's best for business.
Oh, all the tingles, Joe Murray. Good job. Mike Riley, your wrestler of the decade.
Yeah. Now, I mean, obviously, I think a popular one is like a John Cena, which is a very good one. Charlotte's a great pick, Joe. But I really had to think about this, and I it all started in, I think, really 2012 with the Yes Movement. Daniel Bryan is my wrestler of the decade. Not only individual career, and I'll get to that, but the tag team effort with Kane, Team Hell No, WrestleMania 30 main event, one against Randy Orton and Batista, but that moment at the end, holding up two belts there, just incredible. Always when you think of WrestleMania 30, probably Undertaker and Brock Lesnar is in there, but that's the number one picture that comes to my mind, is Daniel Bryan holding up those two belts. And then, of course, you know, Connor's cure, the kid who passed away from the cancer there, the child cancer, his hero is Daniel Bryan. Seeing what he did with that right there was awesome. Let's not forget, even the year before, he did cash in the Money in the Bank. He won the world title against the Big Show in 2011 there. SummerSlam 2014, beat John Cena to win the WWE title. WrestleMania 31, great ladder match, won the Intercontinental title. And then he had to retire, forced to retire, came back as a SmackDown GM, cleared for in-ring return in 2018. Never thought it would have happened. Shocked the world, beat AJ Styles about a year ago in November. Then he had a good feud with Kofi Kingston leading up to WrestleMania 35, reestablished his character with what I hate. I know Jimmy has it right now, that eco-friendly wooden belt there.
Oh, it's a thing of beauty.
Oh, it's awful.
It's amazing.
Well, bless your heart. But I think it's, but again, for what he was able to do this decade here from individual, tag team, and even as general manager and so forth, Daniel Bryan is my wrestler of the decade, considering he came back from out of retirement and almost having his career over.
My wrestler of the decade is John Cena. Programs and top level main event promos with programs with The Rock, Dave Bautista, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles. What he did for The Undertaker at WrestleMania in New Orleans is something of legends. He wanted to make sure that The Undertaker had a performance that people could remember, and The Undertaker since came back, but he was one man trying to do right for The Undertaker. And that's something that John Cena, I feel like, has been consistently trying to do, is do right for the business. But I would, and I couldn't find this, I tried. I don't think anybody drew more money for this decade than John Cena. Big match, John. He helped. Kevin Owens comes in, and John Cena does the right thing. AJ Styles comes in, John Cena does the right thing. He had a number of championship reigns, a number of pay-per-view main events, and I think John Cena was the wrestler of the decade.
Just to touch on that too, Jimmy, he made it really clear. I know you talk about him putting people over, but what really touched me with Cena doing the right stuff there was No Mercy 2017 when he beat Roman Reigns beat him. And right after that, he made it very clear that, like, the torch has been passed. And just a real company man right there. And, you know, doing what's right, what's best for business in general. That's the kind of guy it seems like John Cena is. So it's a very good pick. Good choice there. I can't, that's a tough one to argue with.
The only other person that I considered was Chris Jericho. For Jericho, it's more of a broader brush and him doing it for different companies in the same way that Daniel Bryan did it for different companies. Jericho's story with CM Punk leading into WrestleMania 28 in Miami, the list of Jericho, his series with AJ Styles before WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, the story with Kevin Owens leading into WrestleMania 33, which really started this whole ripple effect of, like, that WrestleMania in Orlando is sneaky big for a lot of reasons. Jericho had the best story going with Kevin Owens, and it's the second match on the card, which offended Jericho. So Jericho then will tell you that it was at that point he's like, I can't be in WWE if we have the best thing going and we're the second match on WrestleMania when we should be the main event.
The Hardys was the biggest that night, too.
It 100% was. But the other thing was the merchandise. It was all Bullet Club stuff, which started Hot Topic trying to find out how to get Bullet Club merchandise in their stores, which added another level to the merchandise of the Young Bucks and so on and so on and so on.
Right.
More recently with Jericho, he's the champion of AEW. He had a good run with New Japan. He's going to be working Wrestle Kingdom against Tanahashi in a few weeks. Chris Jericho's value has been proven. He is responsible for tens of thousands new subscribers to New Japan World, and he put his money where his mouth was. His feud with Kenny Omega, his run with Naito and the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, that's all good stuff. Jericho had a strong decade, and in my opinion was really the only other person that I had considered for wrestler of the decade.
Yeah, right up there. And you know, even his podcast, when he talked about his decision to go to AEW, just so eye-opening with the business aspect of things. And really, that because of Chris Jericho, I think that is probably 90% of the reason why Vince McMahon is so paranoid with AEW, because what Chris Jericho has proven to, you know, what he can do, reestablish himself and lead a brand. Vince knows that he let Jericho get away. He knows that. And he's paying the price. Well, he's not paying the price, but he's doing everything he can to make sure that does not happen again, signing these guys to contracts.
And there were some, there was a little detail where Jericho Cruz, he wanted NXT on it, and Hunter dinked around with him. And so it went with Ring of Honor. He got to know the Young Bucks and Cody a little bit better, and Kenny Omega a little bit better. And that all led to AEW. And there's another Jericho Cruz where they're going to be taping AEW Dynamite on in the month of January. So all these little things built to this big thing, and now Vince has competition. And don't get me wrong, Vince is making a ton of money.
Oh yeah.
And he just put his foot down. Now he just needs to improve his writing for Raw and SmackDown.
Exactly.
Top five wrestling matches of the decade. I will give you my list. 2011, CM Punk beats John Cena at Money in the Bank in Chicago. 2012, Undertaker beats Triple H in Hell in a Cell. Shawn Michaels was the referee. 2013, Daniel Bryan beats John Cena for the WWE Championship SummerSlam that year. 2018, Kenny Omega beats Okada 2 out of 3 falls to win the IWGP Championship. And 2019, Johnny Gargano against Adam Cole in NXT Brooklyn. Johnny Gargano wins the NXT Championship. Those are my top five wrestling matches of the decade. Wow. Mike Riley, go.
Gargano and Cole, number one. Look at you. Yeah. All right, so
a lot of bias from sitting in. A lot of bias for having a front row seat for that one.
No, and you know what? I will. I'm going to join you with the bias part because I really enjoyed being a part of WrestleMania 32. That was my first WrestleMania in attendance since 14 in Boston, second overall. But my top five, it was number five for me, was the women's match for the women's championship, the new one. Young Sasha Banks, coming to the ranks of Charlotte. And then, of course, Becky Lynch, who was kind of that dark horse there, really was in that match. But Charlotte ended up winning via her dad, Ric Flair, holding on to Sasha Banks there at the end there, and just Charlotte doing the moonsault off the top there of the the Ring Post at some point. Just a great match. That was my number five match right there in 2016. Then my number four match was Money in the Bank 2011, CM Punk versus John Cena in Chicago. That crowd was just so hot for CM Punk. Number three, John Cena versus AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble in 2017. That's where John Cena tied Ric Flair's 16-time world championship reign. Number two, The Undertaker versus CM Punk at WrestleMania 29. That storyline there of Paul Bearer's urn. Paul Heyman, unbelievable heel there. Great match. And then my number one, WrestleMania 26. The Undertaker retires Shawn Michaels. Taker went 18-0 on that match. Shawn retired a couple of tombstones. Almost as good, I thought, as a 25 match. But that was not part of this decade. 26 was. That is my number one match of the decade.
Joe Murray, your top five wrestling matches of the decade.
Number one, so easy. Undertaker, Baker, Lesnar, the streak being broken. It was the biggest shocking moment in my wrestling history. It's still shocking to some people. To me, I don't even remember the match. I just remember the finish.
Neither does Undertaker.
I know.
Second for me was Daniel Bryan, Triple H. You want to tell a story? You want to tell a guy that he can't get over? It was a great match. The whole setup, but he had to fight Batista first, was it? And then Triple H. So to me, that just is memorable in my mind. And again, mine's more extra than your guy. You guys are probably more detailed. I'm just going by what sticks out of my brain. John Cena versus CM Punk in 2011 at Money in the Bank. I think they all left it on the line. It was in Chicago. The crowd was hard on Cena that night. And I think they was... Which one was going away? It was Cena, right? That was going away.
No, it was CM Punk. His contract had expired actually the night before the pay per view. He had signed a day extension, and I don't know if this is public or not, but I know that CM Punk didn't sign his new contract for WWE until 6 o'clock Chicago time that night, and then that's when they worked out the finish that he was going to run off with the championship into the crowd and be at his house 8 minutes later, and he took the famous photo from the refrigerator with the WWE championship in it. And you know, selfish story, like I got the CM Punk spinner belt. I'm proud to say that I have it, and when I was in Chicago for AEW's show, I put the belt in the refrigerator and took a picture of it myself, you know, and watched them up on my social media. Joe, I'm sorry I interrupted with a random story.
Punk, Cena, 2011, Money in the Bank, and then just two favorites of mine, probably just being there. Solo Joe beating Finn Balor, that was a great night for me. It's not going to go down as one of the greatest matches in history or anything like that, but we were there for it. It was awesome, and if you look at an old picture, you'll see me there. Not amused. And then the last one, we all went to AEW at Aganis Arena this year, and there was a dark match at the end of the night with Omega, and I believe Janela, was it?
Yeah, Joey Janela and Kenny Omega. It was taped for AEW Dark, available on YouTube.
They killed each other. That was awesome. Like, that was the last, besides going to the last Raw that we saw, that they really crushed each other, and it was awesome to see. And as somebody who's down in Bucks, seeing them live and in person was much better. So, you know, again, my five is going to be different than all your fives, but that Omega Janela match, that dark match, I was like, wow, this is a dark match. Like, one of the best night matches of the whole night. I'll just throw those two in there. But
Joe, don't ever apologize for being unique. Whatever connects with you is what connects with you. There was somebody who did the Steve Austin Tough Enough, and she said that her favorite match was this random match between two females on Raw, and she got made fun of. But wrestling is about connecting and unique experiences and unique characters connecting to you. So, Joe, if those five moments and matches connected with you, then that's you. That's your personal experience with wrestling. Do not ever apologize for it.
I'll make that a quote.
Okay. As we wrap up 2019, any closing thoughts? Joe Murray, I'll start with you.
We do a tag team of the decade?
So I didn't have it on my list because I just didn't think of it.
Okay, well, I have the Shield.
Oh, good one.
Mine.
Yeah, I put the New Day. The reason, I mean, you know, I have my reasons here for that, but you know, they had the streak of 438 days, I think it was, I wrote down 438 days as the longest reigning tag team champs in that time period there. And then, you know, they're just so over with the crowd. They were even heels at one point too. But you know, hottest selling merchandise, Freebird rule. And don't be surprised if you see maybe Biggie, Langston go solo over the next year or two if they don't continue to be over.
So, quick thought without having put any thought or research into this, I would go Young Bucks. Mm-hmm. And I would go Young Bucks because of what they did on their own, going from independent tag team to Ring of Honor to New Japan to now vice presidents of AEW. And, you know, despite the fact that they're trying to not be the people who put themselves over in every situation, they should put themselves over. Yeah. But just the Young Bucks and what they've done to keep tag team wrestling as an important part of the wrestling culture, I would say the Young Bucks did, because they also, they were independent to themselves, and as far as much money as they have drawn for themselves as a tag team all over the world, I think is a tribute to them and how they really changed the business, and they helped independent wrestlers figure out that, yeah, you can sell your own 8x10s, you can sell your own t-shirts, and you can make a profit, and you can do it on your own with all these different promotions. There's a theory that if Cody doesn't hitch his wagon to the Young Bucks and the Young Bucks don't use Cody's star power, that Ring of Honor doesn't have that great year that they have, and that doesn't transition into AEW. There are all these moving pieces as to how AEW got to be, and the Young Bucks are a huge part of that. So the Young Bucks would be my tag team of the decade, just off the top of my head.
Good choice. Okay.
Any closing thoughts, Joe Murray?
I have a special stocking stuffer five count. If we want to breeze through these guys,
sure. Let's do it. Let's do what we would call a lightning round.
Ready? Manager of the decade.
Paul Heyman.
Boom. That's what I had.
Yeah.
Valet of the decade. I had Lana.
Yeah, because when Rusev was, we had that tank that was pretty good at Mania 31. Now it's just got the thing with Bobby Lashley. Just thinking of it, yeah, I'll go Lana too.
That's a good one. That's a
it's
really
not that
good
many
question.
Valets anymore.
Yeah, Selena Vega.
Oh yeah,
Selena Vega is a good one.
Yeah. Brandi Rhodes.
Yeah, Brandi Rhodes, good one. There you go. That's a very good one.
Brandi Rhodes. Brandi Rhodes is my answer. And I don't love that answer.
Okay. Announcer of the decade. Mine was Mauro Ranallo.
Tough to top. He's I think he's the best in the business right now, and that's mine too. I mean, he's very open about his you know, mental health and all that, and getting bullied there with Corey Graves a couple of weeks ago, which was garbage. You know, so very passionate, awesome. Every match that he calls is exciting, start to finish. You're at the edge of your seat. It's like a Jim Ross Jr. So Mauro Ranallo for me, and good for JR too, getting back in the game. What he always wanted to do, play by play. I'm happy for him at AEW, but yeah, of the decade, Mauro Ranallo.
Jim Ross,
general manager of the decade.
GM of the decade.
I'll give you my William Regal of NXT.
So I'm going to go Mick Foley.
Okay.
All right. Do you consider Shane a GM or the commissioner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Shane McMahon, because when they had that whole brand split up there, I know Daniel Bryan technically was the GM, but Shane was the commissioner, and, you know, even putting himself into the squared circle with the matches there and so forth, he made it clear that SmackDown was a show that, you know, Raw was the A show, but SmackDown, as he called it, the land of opportunity. And it made SmackDown cooler. So I'll go Shane McMahon on that for GM of the decade.
If the timeline works out and I'm not sure it does. Can I shout out the computer anonymous general manager that Michael Cole would read from?
I was thinking about that too, on that the podium there, no one standing there.
Yeah. Final one, botch or blooper of the decade. Mine is Titus O'Neil at the Royal Rumble.
No, no, that was the greatest Royal Rumble.
The great, whatever it is. It was the best of all time.
How about the SummerSlam with The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar? Remember that with the official that had something to do with that there? Would you consider that a botch?
Sure.
You consider that one there? Because remember, Taker got up. He was laughing at one point. And I don't know. It just I can't think of anything for this decade,
actually,
Joe.
Here is the greatest botch in the history of pro wrestling, not just for the decade.
Yeah.
It's when CM Punk wins the WWE Championship in Chicago. He runs away, and they're going to do this whole thing where he's touring the world as the WWE champion. Well, they panic, and they bring him back 2 weeks later because they have SummerSlam. So SummerSlam, CM Punk wins over John Cena, and then Del Rio cashes in on CM Punk, which I have an issue with, but I kind of don't have an issue with. But I really actually do have an issue with. Because what this leads to is this leads to Triple H coming out of retirement to beat CM Punk on a meaningless pay-per-view. It might have been Night of Champions, Clash of Champions, whatever that September pay-per-view was. And so CM Punk loses to Triple H, who comes out of retirement, and then guess what? Triple H goes back into retirement because he's beaten CM Punk. He's tried to kill his momentum, and CM Punk is still outselling John Cena and merchandise for that time period. And then they have no choice but at Madison Square Garden to put the championship back on CM Punk, so they have him beat Alberto Del Rio. So instead of CM Punk having like this 600-day reign as champion, it's interrupted. And why? Because the ego of Triple H couldn't let CM Punk have his championship run and talked Vince into giving up the title because they had him under contract. They had him for a 3-year extension, and screw him because he didn't want to conform. You know what he did? He went out and drew money and did it, and Triple H had to come out of retirement to try and kill his momentum, and it failed. The greatest botch of the decade, maybe in wrestling history. You left money on the table with CM Punk.
Yeah, and you know what? That match you talked about there is a top five of the decade. The Triple H Undertaker match in the Hell in the Cell. I love that match, but I can't put it in my top five there because of the Triple H factor in that. Just not going to happen. By the way, big botch of the decade. I just thought of it. WrestleMania 30. Hogan comes out on the microphone. They're in New Orleans. And he says, "We're here at the Silver Dome, not the Superdome." He screwed that one up, and he got booed. So there you go. Botch right there.
All right, Joe Murray, any closing thoughts?
It was a great year for wrestling. Here's the deal. I don't like some nights. I don't like some weeks. Some weeks bore me. I'll always criticize the writing, but I'm always here for wrestling. And I think that what happened this year with NXT brought me back a little bit. And I think with AEW, really kind of brought me into watching every single night or every Wednesday and wanting to know what's going on every week and wanting to join you guys every week. And I started a podcast 2 years ago. You guys started a podcast 2 years ago. I think wrestling podcasts are really big and people love to hear stories. And just like you told me a little while ago, Jimmy, it's all about my perception and what I liked and what connected with me. You know, I think this podcast in particular connects with, somewhat of a hardcore fan, but an average fan as well. And I just think that wrestling now, whether it's watching it on Fox, watching it on USA, or listening to podcasts, people are interested. There's a home for it. And appreciate what you guys do on a weekly basis here. And, some people say, it's wrestling, nerd out. But, like, this is like people are making money on this, people's livelihoods. And to me, it's the storyline I like to follow on a weekly basis. And I appreciate you guys having me on to give my opinion.
Mike, closing thoughts?
Yeah, fun year. Thank you for the nice comments there, Joe. And James, it's a pleasure to work alongside you each week for this here. And appreciate all the people listening to the show each week, getting feedback, good or bad. But I do appreciate it personally. And, as Joe mentioned, the podcast, so much out there now for people to really stay in tune with people that are still involved in wrestling or were involved. social media is a big thing right there, and that's a way for us to tap into you, the listeners, like that, to tell us what you think and your opinion and so forth. So keep it coming. Keep it strong for 2020. I'm excited to see the next chapter of pro wrestling in the new year.
Joe, thank you for your participation this year. Mike, thank you for your participation this year. Thank you to everybody who downloaded and listened and interacted with us on social media. 2019 was awesome. 2019 was very giving to the wrestling fan. We had a lot of great moments that we documented. I traveled a lot to different events this year. I had the time of my life, and if you came up to any one of us during an event and asked for a picture, or to say hello, or just participated in a conversation, thank you for that. Everyone have a wonderful Hanukkah. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year. We will talk to you in 2020. For Joe Murray, at Joey Murr. For Mike Riley, at Sarge985. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter, at IamJamesStewart.